Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. 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 Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to them, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to be faithful to you with everything, including money. Amen. As Jesus was heading out on a journey, a man approached him and said, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to receive eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Isn't that strange for Jesus to say? Jesus says, "I'm not good, and I'm not God. Only God is good." Why would Jesus say such a thing? Jesus wants us to see him as a brother, a neighbor, a friend, a regular person. Jesus doesn't want us to think that some people are good and some people are bad. Jesus wants us to see that we're all human beings. And so eternal life, going to heaven, being saved, isn't something that happens to good people. It's something that happens to people who have no money. Now, that is quite a thing to wrap our heads around. And we have to think practically, how are we supposed to be able to live without money? Because that's what we have to do if we want to go to heaven. Now, the easy way is to die, right? Everyone knows that when we die, we go to heaven. Amen? And when we die, we don't have anything anymore. It's all gone. We don't take any of it with us, okay? So that's the basic way. But the thing is, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy kingdom come here. So our mission is to bring the heaven here, now. God's work, our hands. This is why God put us here on this earth, is to make heaven come here. So how do we do that? How do we live without money? Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get into heaven. If you did not know, there was a gate into Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle. It was an actual place. And in order for a camel to get through that gate, it could not be carrying any load. Camels were used to transport goods. But if a camel had to go through this one particular gate into Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, whoever had the camel had to take everything off of it. Everything. No packages, no saddle, nothing. And only then could you squeeze such a camel through this gate called the Eye of the Needle. So again, the message is clear. In order to be saved, to have eternal life, to go to heaven, we can't have any possessions, no money. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to make God's kingdom come here? We know it's promised to us when we die, but what about bringing it to fruition on earth? Well, there's three things we can do to practice having money. And let me just say for a second, I think of money as training wheels, right? Are training wheels bad for a kid learning to ride their bike? No, they're good. Training wheels are very good. You need them. But someday the kid takes the training wheels off and they don't need them anymore. We are that kid, human beings. Money was invented a few thousand years ago. It is our training wheels. Someday in heaven, we're not going to need it. The training wheels are going to come off. So we have to think, we have to imagine, what would it take to get there? So there's three things. Least, last, and lost. If we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to be the least, we have to be the last, and we have to be the lost. Let me explain. Least. We have to charge the least. If everything was free, then we wouldn't need money. Right? The lower prices get, the more affordable everything gets. That's why inflation is so painful on all of us right now, because the higher prices get, the more difficult life is. And then we're told, you got to go make more money. Go work harder and harder and harder. 2, 3, 4. People have like 4 jobs these days, this young generation. And they're told, you got to work more to be able to afford these prices that are surging. Well, that's not wrong, but there's another way, lower prices, right? If we could lower prices, then we wouldn't have to work so much. How do you do that? How do people like you and me lower prices? I actually heard a story about this from Vartan. Remember Vartan, our quasi-associate member? He goes to the Armenian church now in Upland. He's Armenian. Armenia basically doesn't exist anymore as a country. Most Armenian Christians went to Iran to live decades ago, including Vartan. And he said that during the oil crisis, when he was living in Iran as an Armenian Christian, people couldn't afford to fill up their cars to go to work or anything. He said, so what did the people do? They got together and they went on strike. Everybody. Said, we're going to all just stay home. And he said, they actually, when the people decided it was the middle of the day and people actually left their cars at work and just walked home, took the bus, and everyone just hung out until they lowered gas prices. And then they said, we'll go back to work now. Collective bargaining. Solidarity. Looking out for one another. being least and charging the least. The second way that we can bring forth the kingdom of God, to imagine a time without money, is to be last. And specifically, I want to say speaking last. If you've ever done negotiations or studied negotiations, you know there's wisdom in going last. Because the longer you can wait and learn about your negotiating partners, you understand what it is that they have and you understand what it is that they need. And once you have a very clear understanding of who all the people at the table are, what they have and what they need, then you can make a deal. You can negotiate. That is stewardship. That is part of the Christian life. There was a time when I served an organization that was very conflicted. The members of this organization wildly disagreed with other members on philosophical outlooks and the way things ought to be done. And anytime there was a meeting, it was always difficult. There were always elevated volume of voices and aggressive behavior. And a very wise person told me that when you are in such a meeting, the best thing you can do is to be quiet, is to speak last. Because if you're in a space where the yelling is happening, if you jump in and you start yelling, you're not going to make anything better. But if we can speak last, if we can remain silent while the yelling is going, while the emotions are flaring, all the while learning more, then when we speak last, we can share. We can say, you have this, I have this. Bartering and trading is the foundation of economy. It's the foundation of stewardship in the Christian life. In terms of our scripture lesson this morning, it comes to us from Hebrews. It says, the word of God is sharper than any living sword. It cuts between bone and marrow. There are no secrets that are hid to God. So there's nothing wrong with us waiting and learning because nothing is hidden from God. Least, last, and lost. We have to learn how to lose. We have to learn how to lose. It is essential to the Christian life. Jesus lost his life on the cross, and he calls us to do the same. Our life is nothing more than a lifetime process of losing everything. We have to learn how to lose. Biblically speaking, we talk about tithing. Tithing is 10%. We should think of tithing also as a training wheels. It's practice. It's a place for us to start to sacrificially and consistently take 10% of whatever we receive in our life and to immediately give it away. Prepares us for giving everything away, which we will all do at one point in our life, even if it's our final day. When I was a pastor serving, I got a phone call from a member of the church, and they said, Pastor, I'd like you to come over to the house. I need to talk to you. And so I went over to the house, sat down in the living room, and this church member got out their wallet and took out $8, a five, a one, a one, and a one. And they said, Pastor, I have $8. And they laid it on the coffee table. And I said, okay, thank you. I thought maybe he was making a gift to the church. He said, no, I only have $8 to my name. Savings, checking, lifetime. And this was a person, a father who was married and had two kids. This is it. And I went, oh, okay. And so he started opening up a little bit more, telling me the things that were going on in their life, their challenges, the job that he had, the job that his wife had, his bills, how it all, the whole thing went together. And he needed help. He needed help. They weren't going to make it through the month without not eating. And so I went back to the church. I started making phone calls. And the next day, me and another member were pushing a grocery cart over, not from the store, because you can't take them anymore. You never were supposed to. This member had their own cart, and we pushed their cart over full of food. And that was a turning point for this one particular member. He had been holding it in for years, not letting me or anyone in the church know what their family was dealing with. And once he lost, maybe we'll say, his pride and opened up to what they were dealing with, then other people stepped in, and then they lost some of their abundance to this family. And then this family started to get more involved with church, started to take on more leadership roles, got better jobs from recommendations from other church members, and generally speaking, started to do better. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. When we learn how to lose, we learn how to be last, and we learn how to be the least. Amen.